So we thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And indeed, it's a blessing, you know, that we always gather and we always, you know, spend time in his word. And, you know, we've been looking at the churches and the message of God to the churches. And, you know, at times, the importance of rebuke is that it comes to remove everything that hinders the flow of the blessings of God in our lives. Think of it this way. God has given us his promises. His promises are without fail. His love is without fail. His desire for us is to live this righteous life, to live this life of holiness that he's given us. But then as he has given us this life, he starts to see things in us that are not according to the life that he has called us in. And you see, God's promise is true. You know, when he says he has saved us to the uttermost, it means that he has saved us completely. He has saved us eternally. He has completed the work that is needed for our salvation. And that remains in eternity, achieved, done, completed, done and dusted, you know. And when you think of how it says, how Peter says that the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth were laid, that's telling you that God already thought in himself, and he was like, I'm going to make man, I'm going to create the foundations of the world, I'm going to make man, and I'm going to make man in my own image and likeness. And he shall have dominion. He shall be in charge of everything. I shall put my nature in him. He shall rule and extend my kingdom on the earth. But then if he falls or if he fails to honor, God says, I will die for him. And God dies for him. So he already becomes the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth were laid. So we see that there are things that God has already completed in eternity. Why? Because it was done in the timeless dimension. Now, salvation is one of those things that is already completed in God, and it is done. Our job is to receive it and to walk into it and to, you know, and to accept it and to live that life, because for us, we are in the time dimension. Now, in time, we have the liberty. It's like God, you know, the way the Bible says that he was teaching principalities and powers. He came to teach them through the church the manifold wisdom of God. Now, in eternity, they had no understanding that time could be created where grace was availed, you know, where the grace of God is available to men for that period. Now, in eternity, when Satan sinned, he sinned in eternity, in the timeless dimension, and he was judged in eternity, and his judgment is done, and there is no revoking of that, because God's word is God's word. But you see, he made man to teach the principalities and powers that he also has a manifold wisdom, which is grace, in that as long as these men on the earth are in the time of man, he has given them the grace that in this period, as long as they believe in him, they receive that salvation that God has accomplished in Christ eternally. They believe in him, and as long as they are in time, they still have the chance. That's why it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And you know, when Jesus was asked by his disciples, what should we do the works of God? And said, this is the works of God. The works of God is to believe in the one that he sent. Believe in the one that he sent. Now, believing goes beyond just saying that, okay, I believe. And even that's what James says. He says that, you believe, even the demons do that. Even the demons believe and they shudder, you know. They know there is God. You say there is God. Yes, even the demons know there is God. Now, it's showing us that our believing, our faith, is not just the action of saying, I believe. Like people would say, I know there is a God. I believe there is God. So, I believe Jesus died for our sins. Yeah, I believe he died. So, that's enough. No. Now, James says that faith without action is dead. Now, it's telling us that our believing captures two aspects. It captures the faith, it also captures the action. Now, when we believe and we act, when we act out this Christian life, when we act out this faith, when we act out this life that Christ has called us to live, then we are in complete obedience. We fulfill our obedience. And when we act out this life that Christ has given us, then we can be said that we are believers. So believers is not just the mental assertion or the emotional crying that one makes when they're giving their life to Jesus, but it as well is the action, the faith and the action working hand in hand. And that's why when it says, Abraham, your father, is it not when he believed and how he lived that it was credited to him? So his faith and his action were working hand in hand. And so when Jesus rebukes the church, it is to bring them in alignment to his actions, to the way that he wants them to live. And you see, we've looked at the various rebukes. Many of them were doing the works, but some were unfaithful. Some did not keep the zeal. Some were compromising. Some allowed false prophets to teach them. Some followed after the doctrines of the Nicolaitans, you know, eating food sacrificed to idols and committing sexual immorality, preaching that that is okay, taking grace as a license for sin, grace as a license for immorality, grace as a license to just live carelessly. Now, that's a challenge. When we think that grace is just a license to live licentiously, then we have not fully understood the grace. Why? Because the grace comes because judgment is passed on all sinners. Now, anyone who takes the grace of God lightly has not understood the gravity of sin, because the law, which is the Ten Commandments and the law of Moses, was given to us as a schoolmaster or as a tutor to show us, to confine us into sin, to reveal sin in us, to show us the dangers and the effects of sin. And since this law was given, now what happens is that it is to show us, to demonstrate to us sin, but so that we can understand the need for a savior, the need for salvation, the need that apart from God, we cannot make ourselves righteous. Now, today, I wanted us to just look shortly at the law and God's promise. And I want us to read just Galatians chapter 3, verse 15. And just a few verses there. And really, it's just a pickup from where God preached the gospel to Abraham. And this gospel was the righteousness that is by faith. That is the grace message. And when we look at Galatians chapter 3, maybe we first jump to where I've spoken about verse 7 and 8. It's verse 5. Therefore, He who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, the thing is, the Galatians were being deceived, and he had asked them, who bewitched you? You know, I mean that you are falling away from the message that was preached to you initially. You know, and he says that, O foolish Galatians, let's go back to verse 1, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, this is the thing, the hearing of faith. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain. Verse 5, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of the faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God will justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then, those who are of the faith are blessed with believing Abraham. In NLT puts it, so all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. Now, just to put it this way, there was a message of a righteousness that is by faith. Because when God brought out Abraham and showed him the stars, he said, look at the stars. If you can count them, then as many as your descendants will be. And then he told him, look at the sound. If you can count the number of sand, then as many as your descendants will be. And the Bible says, and Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, that was the gospel message that God preached to Abraham, that, you see what? I will do it. Believe in me. I will do this. I will make your name great. I will bless all nations on the earth. And so this is already that the message that included not only just the Jews, but also the Gentiles. So the Gentiles were included in the promise of God to Abraham. And this is the important thing that I want us to understand, that the promise of God was not just limited to Abraham's descendants. It was not just limited to those of the Jews who are the physical descendants. And this is something that we will see. But it was specific to those his seed. Now, let's look at verse 15. This is where I want us to see. Brethren, I speak in the manner of men, though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. Now he's saying, look at it. Whenever we speak of men's covenants, when a covenant has been made, no one can add or amend it or annul it. And it actually says an irrevocable agreement. Now, verse 16. Now, to Abraham and his seed, and you can see the seed is capital, one seed, were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. So the blessing of the righteousness of faith, which is the grace message that God makes us righteous by the hearing of faith. And that's why he was asking us, did you receive the Spirit? Did God work miracles among you by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? What is the hearing of faith? Believing that God is the one that justifies us. God is the one that includes the Gentiles. And this is something that he did to Abraham and to his seed. And then verse 17 says, and this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before God, before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer of the promise. But God gave it to Abraham by the promise. I want to read it in NLT, that will be more clearly. Verse 16, it says, God gave the promises to Abraham and his child. And notice that the scripture doesn't say to his children, as if it meant many descendants. Rather, it says to his child. And that, of course, means Christ. This is what I'm trying to say. The agreement God made with Abraham could not be cancelled 430 years later when God gave the law to Moses. God will be breaking his promise. For if the inheritance could be received by keeping the law, then it will not be the result of accepting God's promise. But God graciously gave it to Abraham as a promise. And this is where we'll stop for today. The summary that we are seeing today is this. God is saying, I made a covenant with Abraham. I made a promise to Abraham. And this promise was that in you, because you have believed by the righteousness of faith, you have heard what I have said, and you have believed it, and I have credited you as righteousness. Is saying, in this way, all nations, which includes Gentiles, shall be saved. All shall be blessed. All. And this blessing is for Abraham and his seed, who is Christ. And then he brings in the law 430 years. And he said, look here, in man's covenants, in man's agreements, which are irrevocable, once it is done, no one can add or annul it. Now he says that when the law, which is the law of Moses, that was only limited to the Jews. Remember, the law was limited to the Jews. And even foreigners were really just excluded. He says, when the law came, it could not cancel, and it cannot cancel the promise that God already had given Abraham. And which is that Gentiles are also to be blessed by the same blessing that is given to Abraham. And who are those? How are the Gentiles included? Through Christ. What is God saying? We've been looking at covenants. He's saying, even before the old covenant, that is the law of Moses was given, there is another covenant that God had given, which is the promise to Abraham that the inheritance is received by grace. But God graciously gave it to Abraham by promise. And to his seed, which is Christ. And that's why when you look at Romans chapter 4, we asked, what did Abraham discover? You know, what did our father Abraham discover? He discovered that this righteousness does not come as a result of the keeping of the law, but as a result of faith. There is a righteousness in God that is received by the hearing of faith. The hearing of faith. We always need to be in the place where we hear faith. The moment you stop hearing faith, then we lose our ground. The hearing of faith, God, it is God that does it. Many times we blame ourselves. We could blame ourselves. We could see how inadequate we have been. We could see how what we have not done. But if we constantly go back to the grace, Go back to the believing. Go back to seeing that it is God who has said he will do it, and allow him to work in us. And as he works in us, that is when also rebuke comes. As he works in us, he can show us, here you are wrong, here you did this, correct it. Why? Remember, as we started, we are in time. And in time, there is room for plus, minus, addition, correction, error, come back in line. We are still in time. This is the mercy of God, that principalities and powers are wondering, how does God have mercy on these beings? Because to us, the moment we sin, it is judgment. We are demonstrating to them the manifold wisdom of God. So I've linked two aspects: the manifold wisdom of God, the mercy of God, the faith in God, believing in God, our faith and action, and more importantly, that the Gentiles, we are included. The promise that came to Abraham came even before the law. So the oldest message, the grace message of God, that is the righteousness, comes by faith in God, is even older than the law. And worse off, it says, cursed is everyone who fails to keep the law. If you want to be justified by the law, you fall yourself under a curse. I'll stop there, and I pray that God will give us more insight into it and more reflection in the day. You're welcome.
Thanks, Doctor. Thanks for the word of the reminder that indeed it's about faith, it's not about the works of men. It's not about simply following God, merely faith and believing in Christ. I don't have anything more to add, but yes, thanks.
Thank you so much for sharing. I also don't have anything to add, but I like the way you, as you were concluding something you said, that even our faith is older than, you know, the law, which is the truth. And you know, it was in God's plan, you know, right from the very beginning. And the Bible tells us that there's that scripture, I don't really remember it correctly, but it says that if the princes, something like that, of this world did not know, they wouldn't have sacrificed, I think, the King of Glory, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so God's plan for us already even started very, very, very early, before the law was introduced as, you know, as a temporary solution. Yeah, so thank you for sharing.
Amen, amen. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of for our glory. This is 1 Corinthians 2, 7 and 8, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Yeah, it is the oldest, even before the foundations of the earth were laid. The lamb had been slain. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercies, that you loved us in eternity, that you died for us even before the foundations of the earth were laid, that you poured out your mercy for us, that if we believe, if we come and believe and come and believe that indeed you've poured out your mercy for us, it is available. I thank you, Jesus, for everyone that needs to just come to this faith, to hear this faith, to believe, for God to you to work the miracles in them, for you to release the Spirit, supplying the Spirit by the hearing of faith. I thank you for your mercy that cannot be broken by the law. It cannot be broken 430 years ago. That indeed all nations, we are included. We are included in the promise through the seed, and the seed is Christ. May your name be praised. I thank you for your people. I thank you that indeed we are covenanted people. It is by covenant. We have covenant blessings. We have covenant generational blessings. We have covenant protection. We have covenanted favor. And indeed, our right to be where we are is by covenant, O God. And this is even stronger, that no man can annul it. No man can break it. Thank you for your cup. Thank you for the cup of the covenant in your blood. May your name be praised, be worshipped, and be glorified. We walk in victory continually and triumphantly. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Shalom and have a blessed, blessed day.